League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there. League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Stevie here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the Mary Lynn Rice Cup episode. My favorite part of her interview was talking about the differences between the alt comedy scene versus the club comics. Thanks for tuning in. Peace. Welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. We have a very special guest tonight. Please welcome for the first time on the podcast, actress and comedian Mary Lynn Rice Cub.
Hi.
Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me. What's up?
I watch a lot of content, and my scissor brother Jeremiah speaks highly of you.
Mm,
he always says
whenever
he's at the Comedy Store, you're really nice to him.
Are people not nice to him in general?
Comedians, you guys have there's hierarchies, right? Like,
yeah. Oh, you mean that I even talk to him
or
look at him?
Yeah, because you've been on TV.
I know. I'm in this old thing called TV and movies.
Yeah, but
from
dude,
the past.
Can we mention
Jeremiah is a bigger celeb than me now.
No, he is not. You were in 24 with Keith Sutherland.
I know.
I mean,
I know. I'm trying to be modest.
I have the DVD set.
I'm a big deal.
So I'm a bit nervous.
I always will be a big deal. You should be nervous.
Can we go through your trajectory? Like, where did you get your humble beginnings?
Trenton, Michigan, south of Detroit.
Okay. So you're from Detroit.
Yes.
And then do you have a background in like improv or is this?
I'm just fucking around.
Okay. Do you have a background in like improv or like acting? Like, did you take classes and
no.
stuff?
No. I mean, I did children's theater. My friend got me into it. And then I did theater in high school.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe that answer is yes.
Yeah.
And then I went to art school for painting. And then I started doing performance art. And then I started making fun of performance art. And then I moved to San Francisco. And I started doing the open mics there.
Comedy. What was that like?
Well, first it was like open mic poetry.
Ooh.
And then some of the comedians were coming to the poetry nights.
Uh-huh.
And then I saw comedians and I said, ooh la la, look at that, you know?
Was it more attractive to you? Why was that more attractive to you rather
than
poetry?
I'll tell you exactly why.
Okay.
Stevie Weeby.
Okay.
I'll tell you exactly why.
Okay.
Because a comedian knows their voice and goes right into it. I'm not trying to be disparaging of poets, but maybe I am a little bit. Some of those poets were sloppy. I'm going to go ahead and say it.
Including myself. In what ways?
Because you go abstract as an excuse to be on stage.
Right.
And comedians are used to getting to the point and being clear.
Cutting to the
now,
chase.
Part of that is a matter of taste. That's just what I was attracted to. Mm-hmm. And I'm still working on that in my life, still to this day, of how to be more clear in what you're saying. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would see these comedians and they would be loose because they weren't at the comedy club because they were at open mic poetry, but even their looseness was still really tight.
Mm. And
how do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. I'm trying to absorb it. It's making a lot of sense. And did you just have 3 minutes at the beginning and then you would just kind of like build your set?
You know, they don't do minutes at poetry mic.
They don't.
They don't, man.
So you could do 10 minutes or
probably 50. Like one poem. That's yeah. And then well, you do one poem. One poem that's like 50 pages.
So was that equivalent to like 3 jokes for open mic or something?
I don't even know what open mics were at that time.
You're doing them? This is the 90s?
Yeah, I would do a slam poetry.
What's slam poetry?
Where people compete and you get numbers.
Oh, yeah. I went to one on Melrose.
I did it. Yeah. I did it a couple times in San Francisco. What do you say? I would tank. I would get like zeros.
Yeah.
Well, my persona was very awkward and like and self-deprecating to the point of I was afraid to speak.
So,
you know, when they judge you, that you're not good at slam poetry because you're not.
Is it a bit pretentious, do you think, that scene?
Yes.
Like, oh my God, the feathers of the wind flowing and down the river.
Well, you know, nowadays, every once in a while, something will come through my algorithm, and people who are good at it, I think, are really, really good at it.
At poetry?
Yeah.
Well, what makes a good poet?
Clarity of the writing.
And the words, maybe?
Yeah, the words. And then they memorize it. Do they have a cadence? Yeah, but the ones that are good maybe have less of a cadence. It's still a little bit annoying.
Yeah.
Right out of the gate. But then the people that can catch you in anyway, despite them being the pretentiousness, then they're really good because you get past
The theatrics of it.
Yeah, and then you get into their words and their story.
Yeah.
And then I find, despite myself, I'm going, that's really good. Or emotional. Or it'll be have a message and an emotion and paint a picture really quickly.
That's
and be
tough
really
to
smart
do.
And have a smart take. It's really hard. That's what I'm saying. The people that are good at it, I think, are really, really good.
But what
and
outlets,
I'm talking about
what
my
outlets
ass.
Do they have for that?
Instagram, TikTok.
I haven't seen a TikTok poetry thing.
They're winning, I can't think of one
poetic HBO, award. Yeah, HBO used to have a slam poetry thing or something
they're,
like that.
They become a Rhodes Scholar.
Yeah.
They win the Mark Twain Prize.
They could do maybe they lectures
win the
or something.
Lectures.
Yeah. How did you...
They perform at inaugural events like that young woman did. Everybody's crazy about her.
Oh,
Amanda
her
Gorman.
Okay.
At the, I don't know why I remember that.
Yeah, but you did. What was your trajectory like advancing in the comedy scene? Like, and when did you eventually move down to LA?
I advanced so quickly in the comedy
scene. Honestly?
No. I just like that term. How did your advancement?
Or I mean, just how do you progress?
How did your ascension? How did
you progress?
I was doing performances in San Francisco. Then I came to Los Angeles and I happened... From the people I met in San Francisco, they said, we're doing shows in L.A.
Down here.
And I said, I'm going to come and do that. And that's all I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I happened into a really amazing, like crazy good clique of people.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they still doing comedy now?
I'm talking your Jack Blacks, your Will Ferrell, Molly Shannon, Margaret Cho.
Jesus. Jack Black.
Julia Sweeney, like all of these people, David Cross, Bob Odenkirk, these were all people.
Didn't you date David Cross?
I did some research. What'd you do? A little Wikipedia?
Yeah, I did a little Wikipedia. Yeah, so you met him through that then. That's the scene.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Those were, you just set some heavy hitters.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, they're
those
all movies
we were
and
just
TV.
All
yeah, so
out.
That was your class of comedians you came up with. Those people.
Yes.
That's insane.
I know.
I had a personal question. What's the differences between club comics versus the alt scene?
I was only alt.
Okay, so what does that even mean?
I was purely alt.
What does that mean, though? What distinguishes
alt? Wow,
what
you guys are talking about?
Well, no, me and Jeremiah, we spend a lot of time on the road. Like, we drive around, and we talk a lot about this topic, and I still don't know what it means.
Let me just say, me personally, I've done things completely backwards at this point in my life. I'm doing the thing I shouldn't be doing, which is I'm finally a road comic. Okay, I started in the alt. I'm going to explain it to you.
Yes, thank you.
So, there was a backlash from 80s comedy clubs, which still is in play. When you tour all those clubs, mm-hmm. that structure of the six shows a weekend, the people that are like, I just got off work. I paid good money for this show. You do those six shows that sell two drinks, that whole system. Mm-hmm. The 80s comedy boom, that's why they all opened up, right? And mm-hmm. it was guys, men, bravado,
right?
Cocaine. It was, the whole scene was very broad and I don't know the words to describe it. It was even before Jerry Seinfeld, just sort of like bombastic. Whoa. I'm not trying to be negative. It's just a
right. No.
It's like
it.
Dudes in suits.
Oh, it was like Barry Sobel. Remember, like Barry Sobel?
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know. I kind of blocked it out because it wasn't really my thing. So David Cross in particular. Is there a hurricane? By the way, have you been outside today? There's the stuff in the trees.
That scared me.
That scared you. Well, that sounded
like
here.
I know, but that sounded like a tree branch.
Yeah, that sounded terrible. Like there's branches. Did you walk past them? There's branches everywhere. Major branches.
So that was like a windstorm.
That sounded terrible.
But I'm still on the same. I'm still on the same page as you. So you're saying like this '80s boom of dude comics and suits,
and like we're gonna hit it so hard.
Yeah.
It's very specific, but I'm not doing a good job with the
is
words.
Is it like Sam Kinison, like post Sam Kinison type deal?
Yeah, it's more, it's not as, I think of Sam Kinison as off the rails. It's
he
more
is crazy.
Like a rapid fire.
One liners?
I'm going to have an attitude and maybe kind of chauvinistic.
As far as there's their topics or just their bravado?
The bravado.
Okay, I get it.
And the topics. I mean, I guess that whole airplane thing, people were referencing Seinfeld.
Airplane the movie?
No, just like, oh, the food on airplanes.
Oh,
like that type
like
of.
Like those types of topics?
Yes.
Ugh.
Men and women,
you know. Yeah, like that.
Why are women? I mean, those are, in some ways, those are timeless themes. They're always going to be talked about.
Yeah, but
this specific period of time, people really bought into this
style.
Yeah. And that was.
So that's not all.
I should have like six dudes on the tip of my tongue, but I kind of forgot about it until this moment.
So was that
like I would have known all their names.
Seinfeld
when I
is not one of them.
He was, but he was like the elevated version of them.
Of that,
yes.
Okay, that's fair enough. Yeah,
like he was like the Jewy elevated, like at the time it was like he's abstract.
Yeah,
you know, he was the weird version of this.
No. If any comics come to mind later, just feel free to spout them out or whatever. But continue with the whole.
So then I think there was a rebellion and I didn't really know anything about comedy. So I'm just going to see if anything
you're like
up.
If this is driving you crazy, you need to name one or two. I could tell.
Yeah.
There's some OCD moment going on.
So people were.
They're
listing all the really good ones.
Okay.
That they're putting. I mean, there was, I'm generalizing because there was a lot of really amazing people mm-hmm. in the 80s, for sure. David Brenner, I mean, he was unique.
Yeah.
I mean, Andrew Dice Clay, but he was a very.
Yeah, he was unique. He was very special.
They're naming like the cream of the crop. I'm talking the guys that dominated all of these.
So they did dominate all the mics and shows in the late 80s and stuff like that?
I think so. Mm-hmm. I'm not making a very good case.
No. It's fine. It's fine.
So anyway, these guys were, I think, rebelling against that. David Cross was in the Boston comedy scene. And there was
That's
even a like
a example.
Dude Boston.
Yeah. Whatever happened to Janine Garofalo?
She's still around.
Is she really?
And
she was a part of the alt though, right?
Yes. That's rumor is that she was the queen of alt.
There you go.
David
Cross, Janine Garofalo.
But so what happened was they wanted to talk about stuff that was real and not have the rapid fire general. So when I first came to town, there was a show called The Uncabaret and Janine would be there. And Bob would go on there and all these people, some of them are from the Groundlings, a whole group of people. Andy Dick was there. We're talking about personal shit. And
rather
it was almost
general
like
shit.
a therapy. Mm-hmm. So they were talking about personal things that were, which you didn't do as a comedian. You kept it as arm's length right. and talked about bigger, broader subject
right,
matter.
Right.
So that to me was like the style was you're going to talk about. But that's that became the norm. Like people, I think, who are coming up now.
Just naturally do that?
Yeah. And right. now it's a whole different world because everybody's super personal all the time, everywhere. Right. Like so, now it's just overly saturated. But at right. the time,
What? Give
it
me
was
a time
very...
frame. 1992?
Yeah.
Okay. So in the early 90s.
Yeah, and Janine was like the perfect example of that. Not only was she personal, but then she went like anti. Like she would not have that rhythm and she would bring a piece of paper and she would make fun of like her joke structure and all that stuff that people do all the time now.
Right now, but she's the queen of that.
Yeah, and people were breaking through what you didn't do at clubs. Wow. Like at clubs it was supposed to be this like ironclad, you know, like jokes every 15 seconds.
Set up punch,
yeah.
like that.
And like those personalities that you couldn't puncture.
Right.
And so Alt was all about the opposite of that.
Anti-establishment. Like
yeah.
anti-establishment.
And that, so that was a perfect time for me because I was an art student and I didn't really relate to comedy. Mm-hmm. I didn't know, mm-hmm. but I got drawn to it because of this group and that, this way of doing it.
Right.
Because I was like, oh, that's me. That's what I like.
Mm-hmm.
I like to see the flaws. I like to see the in-between. I like to see what's really going on. I prefer an awkward beat more than a polished joke. I right. couldn't relate to the, you know, like laughs every yeah. 15 seconds.
Oh, that's interesting. So in the alt scene, like the club comics, they need that consistency set up. Now laugh. Now laugh. But in the alt scene, you could have moments of silence.
Oh my gosh. I would, me personally, the Sklar brothers just told me, they said, you're a comic now. Back then you were a personality, which is how they say it. But to me, here's what I was doing. I was so scared to speak, but I was imploding and I needed to get on stage. I had a need to get on stage in order to express myself because yeah. I felt like I was dying on the inside and I didn't know how to like talk to people. So I put it on stage. I'd be so nervous. I would fall asleep before I go on stage and I would have phrases that were connected to nothing and I would improvise and I didn't even know what I was saying. And so what you were seeing was somebody making themselves completely vulnerable.
That's what you did.
That I had no beginning, middle, or end. I just had like weird, and I would mumble and I would change my mind and I would stare off into space and I would hit enough real things that could hook people in. But I think mostly they were just like, what's going on with her? Like, is she okay?
Oh my God.
Because of the rooms that I was in, they were accepting of that because it was like a more arty, experimental
thing
outside of the mainstream. I would have not survived in the comedy club. And so only now am I going backwards and being able to speak and say, here's what I think, here's what I want to talk about. So that's what's weird.
Yeah.
Because I've been saying recently, I'm like, okay, I went from being a full-time actor, part-time comedian to...
You're back. You're doing comedy too now.
Full-time comedian.
Full-time comedian.
Which is...
There's nothing wrong
kind
with
of the opposite. No, yeah. it's great. But
what was the premier alt club in Los Angeles at the time? Do you remember?
I mean, for me, it was Largo.
Okay, I knew Largo.
Yeah, that's
so. Can you describe to the viewers and listeners what that was?
Largo. Well, before Largo, it was. I mean, this is what open mics are now, too. But just to be specific about that time, there was a Mexican restaurant called Pedro's. Somebody mm-hmm. did a comedy show at a laundromat. There mm-hmm. was like the Big and Tall men's shop or something. There was the Onyx Coffee House. There was all these like rooms constantly.
Mm-hmm. In LA?
Yeah. And you know, this still happens. You go to these rooms where you're like, you just need a mic and a light. Rooms that you go to where you're like, all you have to do is put a light and a mic. And yeah. there it's like getting one or both of those wrong where the light is like not on the person that's on stage. It's like, it's very simple, the setup.
Yeah.
But you know, we went to a show that was laundromat in front of, fully lit in front of the bathroom. There was one at Borders Books, like all these rooms. So when Largo happened, the owner was a music guy.
Mm.
So, you know, it's not like the original room, but in that way where the room is shaped like this, like cocoon, like this shell where all the seats are faced towards the stage, yeah. where the light is on the person, the sound is pristine. And I remember we were like, oh, there's this club called, like, at least that's what I felt like. Maybe mm-hmm. some other people, I'm sure Bob Odenkirk has never felt like that, but I was like, oh, I hope I get to perform here. Cause you just walked in and it was like somebody who cared about the stage, who mm-hmm. cared about artists. The audience was very, I mean, you could say a touch pretentious, but I loved it. It was like my favorite place to be because they were very allowing of like stuff that was off the beaten path and not.
So what do you mean by pretentious? It's like they had.
Well,
like
looking back on it now, sometimes it's like when people are so in the know that they're like, it's like a knowing. It's like a jazz laugh.
Yeah.
It's like, like some joke where you're like, I don't get the.
Oh, like they're smarter than you because they get it?
Yeah, right. But that's where, that was my sweet spot because, but now that I've sort of grown up and been out in the world, I needed that place, but it was this cocoon of maybe like, it's like arty kids, like people that like understand.
The dude with the Sonic Youth shirt and like bleach, yeah, like color, or like, if like you, bleached
I mean,
hair.
It wasn't, like it's like if you're in a theater class and it's a safe space, that's how it felt to me, like that I wasn't, but I think it, the flips side of that coin is like maybe a bit judgy.
In what ways? Like with your material,
it,
or
like politically correct is what people would call it now. Really? Yeah, but that was like the best possible thing.
Yeah,
but it's different than the shit that you see at the Comedy Store, where
or improv or Laugh Factory.
Yeah.
Something.
In there fact, like when difference. I've been working out at the Comedy Store for so long now, which I love, and I go back to where I started, it feels like a warm blanket. Like they're so nice and so forgiving.
What the,
but
the alt
but
team?
Then if I say stuff that's like a little bit where because you
wait,
know,
wait, I'm confused. Like doing your material from the club back to the alt scene.
Yeah,
and you now it's weird.
Yeah.
Give me a couple examples of that. That's interesting. Like, is it like topical stuff or subject matter?
I mean, I have one of my favorite jokes that just started as like a riff. And I was like, oh, no, that's like a real joke. And I'm keeping it. And I'm going to say it like as long as I can, which is just, I mean, it's so dumb, mm-hmm. but I love it. It's just that how does it start? I haven't been harassed, which is great. But sometimes I think like, what am I doing wrong? Like, why not? Why doesn't someone have an irresistible urge to grab me? Like, hashtag why not me too.
Like, okay. That's a funny angle. Yeah.
That's a big it's laugh. Funny. It's pretty fucking
yeah,
funny.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Yeah.
I mean, I've had a woman in Connecticut, a rich white woman. She was like,
right.
That happened to me. It's
like,
dude, shit has happened to me too. Yeah. If you're too fragile to leave the house. But that's where I'm at now, mentally and emotionally, right. That I feel okay about saying that.
Mm-hmm.
And I fucking rescue the joke at the end. You know, I say, I want to be violated sexually, but also with love and respect.
Right.
Is that too much to ask?
Right.
Like, can't you have it all? And I think that's a good topic. That's a rich topic.
Yeah.
It's silly.
When
it's over
a joke.
The top.
It's funny.
It's a joke.
It's a funny joke.
Now, I'm not saying that the Largo crowd, they're going to laugh at that. I'm just using that as an example for me because I'm not that crazy edgy, but I get a little bit some of the things I say that would immediately get a laugh might get more of a, oh,
yeah.
They're worried. Like, they're not jerks. They're just like,
yeah.
Oh, no.
Right.
Like we're listening in a different way.
As far
we're
as the
not,
alt listeners are listening in a different way. That's what you meant.
Yeah, they're a bit more, they're more sensitive.
Right.
But they're more allowing.
Are they more mindful too as far as what's allowed? Or?
Yeah.
Now I
which
saw a video.
Which you want. That's what you want.
Right, right.
I'm pro that.
You're pro that. I saw a video of you and
I'd
Joe Rogan.
I'd rather that than like, yeah, she wants to be violated.
Right,
it's
right,
like,
right.
No, that's.
I seen a video of you and Joe Rogan, and about it was about Carlos Mencia, and I was just curious about like the whole joke stealing thing. Is that like a common thing in like the community? And because my brother has history with Carlos, like because Carlos helped my brother out a great deal back in the day. Like he gave my brother like a chance, him and Paulie.
Yeah.
But now that it's just weird because it's like. why is Carlos canceled, but then other comedians, like, they'll, like, you know, they'll accept back into the community, like Louis C.K., even the, or like Dane Cook or someone like that, or what's her name, Amy Schumer or something like that. Because they have proof that they steal shit.
Yeah.
But why is Carlos, like, why is he banned forever and not allowed back in, and these other people are allowed to come back in and accept it back into the community? I'm very fascinated with it. I watch so many podcasts about it.
What? I don't know.
You don't have any opinion, or you must have insight. You were on Joe Rogan's thing talking about.
What did we say? What were we talking about?
You asked.
I was probably trying to act like I had an opinion.
No, you asked Joe, hey, like, what's the aftermath with the Carlos thing? Like, you know, because like he lost his agent. Like Joe lost his agent. He lost representation, and you know what I'm saying. Like they sided with Carlos.
I like to live in a little bit of a cloud, and I operate from, like, if I'm just true to myself, I'm going to be unique. I've seen things that I've say. I mean, I'm sure you talked about this before.
Not this topic.
You steal. Sometimes you have a similar premise.
Parallel thinking.
Yeah. Thank you. And I was probably clued into, if I was talking to Joe about it, that for that moment in time, I probably had just heard him talking about it. And then I was like, what's that thing? And then I immediately forgot, because quite honestly, I don't really care.
You don't care. What if someone took your joke, though? How would you deal with that? I guess that's a better question. Let's say you found some younger comic.
Honey, people steal my shit all. No, I'm just kidding.
No. But what if you found that out? Like, how would you deal with that?
I mean, I probably, if I was talking to Joe about it, I was taking Joe's side on it.
Of course.
Because that's who I see, and that's who I hang out with, and that's, I'm very prone to, like, that guy's an asshole? Okay, I'm on board.
Right.
But quite honestly, in this moment, that story is not filed in my brain under important thing to remember.
But the topic is, though, as far
no,
as
it is.
Thievery, I mean, that must be an important
let's
topic.
Let's figure it out.
Well, the problem with today is, because you could put anything on, like, TikTok or Instagram, so you could literally out the person if you catch him doing it at a club and put it on Instagram, and then other people could chime in, opposed to before where... If you heard that, like, I've heard stories where, like...
Like, they're going to go further in their career based on your joke. Like, it's easier to do that.
Oh, you can out them out easier. Like, back when Dennis Leary was taking, like, Bill Hicks shit, like, that wasn't available. He couldn't, like, film them and put a vlog out. They had to, like, talk behind the club, like, what the fuck? That's my shit. You know what I'm saying? It's different now because of technology and the accessibility. You could totally, like, fuck someone up just with your phone. You know what I mean?
You could fuck them up, and you could fuck them up in a way that's not real, too. You could, like, edit it or get a certain angle.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah.
So it's kind of a weird time.
Yeah. It is, huh?
And I would imagine that Joe Rogan at this point, I mean, obviously.
Oh, he won that war. I mean, he won.
But I'm just saying, in terms of, even if he wasn't as fucking huge, if he was a normal amount of huge, Joe has done so much stand up, and he's such a cult of personality, which I think is more how things are today, where you almost, like, I mean, you're doing with this podcast, people create their own worlds.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's not just only my act. Like, it's not everything's riding on my act.
Yeah.
You're buying into my
persona.
Persona.
Your personality. So it's like, or your story.
Yes. And that's become taking the place. And I think that's way, you can't steal that.
Someone's persona.
Yeah. Ooh, and so maybe when it was back then, it was more, there was more grabbing of things because they were sort of mentally in the same space.
Yeah.
And now I don't even know how much, I'm wondering how much that applies, because it's almost harder to do one-liners now. It's weird.
I don't see,
like,
it. I mean, I haven't, I don't know. I mean, I'm not in the scene like you are, but I don't see it.
Hard jokes, there's nothing better than, like, when I say something that's specifically a joke and has a switch in it, and that's where it gets the laugh. But if you're not being yourself in between that,
the audience could see through that?
Yeah.
Huh.
And so I don't even know if, I don't know. I could be like way off base because that's just where I'm at.
Right.
I'm sure there are guys that where you're very attached to the writing and like people that steal stuff. But mm-hmm. that is, it's like a desperation, right?
Yeah.
It's
and then
like these animals.
That just take.
These fucking big dicks.
They take your stash. So I guess, yeah, I guess.
And Amy Schumer. No, I don't know. Did she do it too?
Yeah, well, there's like YouTube compilations of like, yeah, her
Did you watch all of it?
Yeah, I watched stuff on YouTube all the
and
time.
And do you think it's parallel thinking in her?
Not,
case,
well, that's a good question. Like, a lot of it could be, but some of it, like, there's no way. It's too, like, Carlos with the Bill Cosby shit. Like, that he took that from Bill Cosby himself, that like his like most one of the most famous,
right?
You know, albums and like comedy things about the football, you know, the football joke about the son growing up instead of thinking the
I
mother.
I mean, the audacity to do that.
And so there's video proof of that now, like where people could
that's so
side by
audacious.
Side. Yeah, you couldn't do that in the 80s or 90s.
Apparently, Robin Williams is a classic. People talk
yeah,
about
but
that.
He paid. I mean, supposedly he would pay. Write out checks and pay him off. We'd pay for it.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Pay people off. I mean, that's what I heard. I don't know. Here.
But that just shows you like how hard it is. I mean, even yeah. like someone like Amy Schumer, and there's like a few like Nikki, like they write for the roasts, and they wrote for each other.
Uh-huh.
I don't know specifically because I don't talk to them about that. But
are you a lone wolf now in this? Like, do you have your like? Because you come from the alt scene from Largo, but like, how are you operating nowadays?
Pretty lone wolf.
You're alone. I felt that. I feel that you are.
You do?
Well, I don't even. I just met
tell
you.
Tell me about it.
Well, just because you're, I guess your energy or your vibe, it seems like you kind of doing your own thing.
Yeah.
It's easier that way, right?
Yeah. I mean, I was a part of that scene for a long time. It was a really great period of my life.
Yeah.
It's just different now mm-hmm. in all ways.
In what ways? Like just the internet or
just lone wolf in terms of I just go do sets and I see who I see. I'm not like hanging out with a group of people all the time.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm a mom.
What about tour? Like when you do your road gigs, do you have an opener you bring with you?
I just use the club.
Use the club people?
Yeah.
Like they have their website and then there's like the whole their headshots.
Yeah, dude.
I'll just pick that one. Then how do you go about, it's interesting, how do you go about picking which
one? I don't do it. I let them pick it. I'm not at that level yet.
No, you are, though.
You would think.
You.
No, in order to, like, take somebody with you, that person has to get paid. I don't have the ability to pay that person to
like, how much would an opener, like, what would that entail? Like, them doing a 10-minute set or an emceeing or... Like when you
yeah,
take
but do they pay their own way and then they just get paid $100 or something?
Yeah, I
or
mean, that's what
bucks?
I just did with your yeah, I mean, well, he chipped me off some money.
I mean, I've had people approach me of like, hey, can I feature for you or whatever?
Yeah.
Like I just had Jenny Johnson with me at the La Jolla and that was great. That was great. That was
yeah.
a good combo. She does that with a lot of different people.
Then how'd you hook that up? Like,
there are people that are seeking that out, but
yeah, you're not looking for it.
Not looking.
You'd
for
rather
it.
Not deal with it. I'll just have someone open down there.
I'm not looking for it.
You aren't.
I think in the past, honestly, when I went on the road, my shit would always change at the last minute.
What do you mean? Your material or your
the road gig? I'd have to cancel because I got an acting job.
Ooh.
And I would get stressed. How am I gonna be like, yeah, so and so fly to New York?
Yeah,
I don't understand that because then I'm responsible for that. They just fly themselves there to be on my show.
Yeah, because they wanted the experience.
They're going to take the expense of that. They better buy a refundable ticket.
Well, because they'll be paying out of pocket, huh? Like room and board.
Yes.
All right. Well, maybe
that feels weird to me. Like, it if is. I want to take somebody, I want to pay for their shit.
Right, right.
But I don't even know if that exists. Do people do that?
Yeah, I mean, you know what's happening now is like, because I'm in a, I do a podcast with Jeremiah, and we're starting to do live.
Scissor Bros, I know.
Yeah. But we're doing live. We're doing live podcasts.
Like I don't know.
But we're doing live. We're doing live shows doing that.
Yeah.
And that's a new thing.
I know.
We're trying to figure out. We don't even know what we're doing. We're like, oh, do we talk just on stage?
By you don't know what you're doing, you mean Jeremiah takes 95% of the money?
No. That's not so much. No. I mean, as far as like the way we present ourselves on stage or what we're doing. But you mentioned.
That's good. That's exactly right. You guys are on the forefront of.
Of something new, I think.
I mean, in some ways, the structure is good and it's that way for a reason, the open, the middle, and the headliner. But in other ways, it's like, no, you guys share the show.
And it's a podcast event?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. We're figuring it out. You were in a huge show back in the day, 24, with Keith for. Sutherland, yes. Can you tell me
I like
about
how you prepped these questions? You really
well. No, I wrote some stuff
it's
down.
Good. It's good.
That was huge. I mean, what year was that? Because I remember seeing the first two seasons of that. Like I'd watch it every
2005.
And then, how many auditions did you have to go through to get that? Because you were a principal role in that.
Guess what?
Go ahead.
The producer. Called me in for the show and said I'm going to write a part for you.
The producer?
Yeah.
What the hell? That's crazy.
I swear to God. I just talked to him the other day because I lost touch.
Wow.
I told him, and I maintain the fact that he said that, I didn't believe it.
Oh, it's too good to be true.
Yes. But I swear to God, the fact that he said that kept me going. I was like, okay. It was so validating.
Well, give them context. I mean, 24 was huge.
Okay, this show.
It was huge.
Listen, I'm going to tell you the whole story. Are you ready?
Yeah. This is your platform.
I was only on guest starring on sitcoms. I was doing alt comedy. I was already working a little bit. I was on Mr. Show. I was on all these sitcoms,
David
like
Cross.
Guest roles. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, I had a really bad CSI audition. Okay? I drove somewhere. It was really hot. I go in the room. I'm like, hey, guys, what's up? Bing, bang. I don't know.
Oh, no.
I really don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
I either go in with like some attitude or I'm like, hey, being dumb.
Over the top.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I don't know what I'm doing. But it was working. All bets are off when you're in drama. I'm like rape victim number.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, I still... don't think I did a bad job acting, but I think my manner and their vibe, I did not understand. They're like sitting at a table because they've been sitting there watching.
Who's they? The producers?
The casting.
Oh, like the producers and writers?
Yeah. You go in and the camera, it's probably only, the producers aren't even in there. I'm just going for an audition. So it's casting and casting associate.
So you have to slate at the beginning.
Yes.
Describe that process. So what do they ask you right when you walk in? Let's do that.
Hey, how's it going? You be them. You're somber.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, traffic was crazy. I was making here. What do we got here? I'm here to read for rape victim. It was weird.
You did that? That was your vibe?
Yeah.
That's not a good sell. But you booked, so, but then what made it 24 different? Like,
so my agent calls me and she goes, the show 24 really wants to see you. The show is at the top of its game, my agent.
Yeah. Can we give a shout out real quick? Or your agency? Can we give them a shout out real quick? Gersh or something? Like, CAA?
This was 25 years ago.
Okay, but
I've had 18 agents.
Okay, like, forget that. For time to snap that out. Okay, continue.
Jamie Misher.
Okay.
Fired her. We got into a big fight.
Okay,
she was great,
Jamie.
Though.
Okay,
she was really great
Jamie.
For a while.
Okay.
I think she's a mom now. Okay. Still love you, even though we fought. Even though you yelled at me and I thought it was a little bit toxic, but you'll never understand. Still love you anyway. We had a good run. And then it got bad.
Okay.
Still love
Timestamp that.
Timestamp
that. 24.
Big hit. Yeah, I started in year three. So they know they're going to, they know they're going to add a character. I know. All I know is I had a bad CSI audition. I'm like, I need to recoup. I need to recover.
Redeem.
I fucked up. I cannot go on another drama right now until I figure out
your thing. Yeah.
She goes, 24, they want to see you. And it was even farther away. It was even hotter. And I go, I can't. I can't drive over there. I can't.
Were you scared? There's fear?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't understand that world. I'm not ready to face it again.
You're a comedian. You're you know, the funny world.
They really want to see you.
Oh, they wanted, they're requesting you.
Yes, they were requesting me.
So you get adrenaline?
Guess why? The editor had seen me in a little movie called Punch Drunk Love, directed by Paul Thomas Anderson, saw me in that movie. That's why they called me in. That's why the producers wanted to see me.
Wow.
And I didn't realize that until I got there. My agent talked me into going. She sent me probably VHS tapes at the time. No, she's probably she goes, watch this show, 24. Because I was like, I don't know what this is. Meanwhile, it's like the biggest show.
It was the biggest.
I'm just going out in bars and performing in, you know, bookshops. Yeah. I didn't know. So I slam a couple episodes the night before. I go in there. He meets me in the hallway. We love you. You're great. Oh my gosh, you're so talented. And you're dating so-and-so. He's so talented. You guys must be the most talented couple. We want to write a part for you. Do you watch our show? I go, yeah. He goes, you don't watch our show, do you? He calls me out. I go, I watched two episodes last night. He goes, that's okay. We think you're great. We saw you as the overbearing sister in Punch Drunk Love. We want to write a part for you. And I was like, okay. Like almost crying because they were so nice. It was so validating. Had seen me in something like mind blowing.
Yeah.
And I left. I was like, that was great.
Yeah.
I'm good. I was with all the executive producers and the one dude was telling me how great I was, who, you know, later was my boss. In the Joel Surnow, shout out creator. That's why I say that was honestly
the best.
A pep in my step, whether or not I had even gotten the part.
That's amazing.
And then the fact that they did it, hired me on for four episodes.
Amazing, yeah.
Guess who's a little freaky on the show? This lady.
Like, in what way?
A little sticking out.
Like, in what ways? Well, you had your own trailer. I mean, what was it like working with Kiefer Sutherland? like the first time meeting him. I'm a big fan. Lost Boys, Flatliners.
Paint us the picture.
Yeah.
It was terrifying. My first scene was with him.
Like, did you have to take like muscle relaxers or?
Yeah. I mean, definitely do drugs if you're going to go on a set. No, I was a quick study and I had all this technical stuff to say. And it was the episode where he was on heroin to try to be undercover and he's looking for his kit. And I go in his office. He's like, get out. He yells at me. First take, I do pretty good.
Okay.
They go light for 20 or 30 minutes. We come back. I go, the thing is gone.
Your lines are gone?
Gone.
How many lines? A lot.
Bye-bye.
Gone.
A lot for me. Probably if you went back and looked at it, it was probably three or four.
I mean,
but
it was
I had never
done. That's TV. Yeah, that's pressure. There's a whole.
Gone. I was like.
Staff. And
every 80s, minute I blow grips. A take.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the whole crew is just money going down the drain. They're all waiting for me to say my.
So what? How'd you get through that?
We took a break. I went and I stood in the corner. And I just repeated it, read it. Okay, I'm ready. I didn't know. I was like, is it going to come out of my mouth again?
Yeah.
And then afterwards, they were super nice. They go, that happens to everybody. And I said, you got to be shitting me.
Holy smokes.
Because that's the nature of that show. Is it's fast paced. It's not.
They did it hourly. Talk. Like they, I remember the hour, like every like.
So
from
I
five
made
to
it
six.
Through that first day, and then that's when I knew. Oh, you actually have to study, because I have such an aversion to anything that's like rehearsal or study or not fun.
Study the lines or the part, like what?
Up until that point, I would just be very quick. Okay, I know what I want to do. And this one was different because I didn't know, I was out of my depth.
Jeez.
And
Louise.
So that's when I knew, oh, you got to really know this, like
really
backwards and forwards.
Yeah.
Because there's other elements that you don't know. But yeah, that's how I did it. That worked for me as I got thrown into it. It's almost like, yeah, a moment of shame and humiliation and facing down the complete failure,
yeah,
is what made me do the work.
Oh, that's amazing.
I can't, it's not believe a great way to I operate. Can't,
well, you walk through it.
Why
you,
didn't
you
I just learn
it
how to study?
Yeah.
That's the message to kids today. Just learn how to study.
Like, be prepared.
Be prepared.
So what would you say? What's the definition? Success is when preparation meets opportunity.
Preparation H means
meets opportunity.
Meets hemorrhoids.
Yes.
Equals now some soothing.
Now, going back to your live performances and doing stand-up, how do you deal with, like, the adrenaline dump? Like, do you still get nervous going on stage and doing your thing?
Yeah.
Like, how do you deal with it? Like, do you have, like, a ritual?
Did you ever get an EpiPen?
What's that? What is that?
EpiPen. For an allergy attack?
No, I just take
those things. Like, if someone's
having a peanut
allergy, they shoot you.
Benadryl. I take Benadryl.
I got that. I had to get the EpiPen once, and it felt like going on stage.
So was it was, it was a drowsy? Good
feeling. No, adrenaline.
Like, adrenaline, like Red Bull.
The drowsy thing I used to have years ago, it was like a reaction to being nervous. But now I just. Well, one thing I learned in the past couple of years is if I'm getting like dry mouth and I'm not doing what I want to be doing, I'm not doing well.
What do you mean dry mouth?
You never got dry mouth?
Yeah, I got a bloody nose once when I opened it for my brother in Tempe.
You get like cotton mouth.
Yeah, I got that and a bloody nose. And yeah, I choked severely. Severely choked.
So why'd you act like you didn't know what I'm saying?
I don't know. I do that a lot. Yeah, I have this thing.
You're rediscovering.
Yeah, like I
keeps you present.
Sometimes I play like dumb when I
because you want to hear the.
I want to hear it from their mouth.
Yeah,
it's a weird thing. It's childish. I know.
My brother drives you crazy. On your last spot, I listened to your most recent one. You also have a thing where you're like, say that again.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Yeah, even though I know.
Say it again.
Yeah.
I just want to hear it. Do that again.
It's childish. I know. But, you know, I'm back. I'm starting to do stand up. I'm 2.5 weeks in and I redeemed myself at the Tempe Improv.
Yeah.
And so, I noticed the second show, that Saturday, it was packed and I drank 4 Red Bulls.
Oh no.
So when I got into the green room before the stage, Jeremiah noticed that,
follow Jeremiah's lead.
I was shaking.
Don't do that shit.
I was shaking.
Don't drink that.
But he talked me down from the cliff, off the cliff.
Of course he did.
He's like, Steve, I know what you're feeling. I want you to slow it down. Why are you doing this? What's that? What's this? It's a sympathy.
That's
sweet. It was nice.
You down.
He told me to slow
you
it down.
You need that.
I know, and I'm telling you, it helped me out so much.
Yes,
because
that's why I said aw. That was a nice moment.
Because I could be feeling that, but I don't want them to see me shaking. Like, hey, anyway, but
you know what? You just made it harder for yourself. With these Red Bulls. Who told you to do that?
I did that.
Don't do that.
Well, in my defense, okay, so they had a Red Bull mini fridge on the side of the stage.
Don't go into the fridge.
No. But they had one in the normal green room.
In your defense, you get water. I'm on you now.
But you know what he did?
I'm on you. What did he do?
He just ate vegetables and fruit. And like, you know, like he would dip carrots
into
the
rim. You do what Jeremiah does. Okay?
Do that.
Oh, I have something.
But what do you do?
Listen, I was going to tell you, this might help you. I don't know.
I don't know what
your style is. And also, they love you already.
I'm new.
This is when I got dry mouth, or because my default is I feel like a freak, like they're all looking at me like a freak. And then you make it real because you create your own reality. And that's how I always felt in life is like, oh, I'm freaky. Like, and so I would get real monotone and dry mouth, and then I would start making things shorter, and I would go interior and I would get quieter, and then I realized
on stage?
Yes, that was my defense mechanism.
Oh my God.
But I would still go through it. And so the key when you feel like you're doing bad is to, And Jeremiah is very good at this. I mean, I don't know if he feels that way ever, but it's not you just get bigger with it, but you dig in more. Instead of going interior, you do the opposite.
Like, what do you mean? Like,
If I'm saying,
you go more monotone.
Hey guys, you know, when you're mowing the lawn and whatever, then I'm like, yeah, they're not getting it. I would go, yeah, when I mow the lawn, you commit to it more and you externalize, don't internalize.
So you need to commit to it.
Yeah. And say it out loud and listen to yourself.
Wow.
You are already natural at that.
So I appreciate that. And that's a compliment. How do you deal with the silence? Because you're used to the silences, but when I notice that the silences that make me uncomfortable.
Yeah, they should.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm just like, oh,
that means you gotta write better. You gotta write better.
You gotta write better stuff.
Yeah.
And then
where was your silence that you had?
I don't remember what parts, but I just remember instead of like getting sad about it, like it kind of not pissed me off, but it's kind of like,
do you think the silence was because you didn't get the result you wanted and you were waiting
and
for
they
a reaction?
Could feel that.
Yeah,
it's a social experience.
That's
realize
you going, here's how I think this should go. Yeah, and they're going, it's not gonna go.
But see, that's interesting because I didn't realize that it's like it's energy. They could feel your desperation. They could feel that. But I noticed when I wasn't expecting shit, that's when I got it. I'm like, oh, they're left.
Or I've had things that work as an aside.
Like, give me an example.
I don't know if I can give you an example.
But just like on a side, like a side, like a tagline or something?
No, it's like if you, what reminded me of that is when you said your desperation. If you think, I'm going to say this thing, and then when I pause here, that's what when you're the rhythm, or if you put too much emphasis, like sometimes I've had jokes work, but I have to deliver it by throwing it away means like
trying to,
I'm not
going to do it that way.
Well, I'm not only not going to do it that way, but I'm going to let it go. And you do that all the time in life where you're just like, you know, that's what she said or something, like where you underplay it. So they respond to that too. Sometimes it's just the stress. If you put too much stress on it, they're like, why are you making such a big deal about that?
So you underplay it.
Yeah, depending on what the thing is.
Oh.
But there's all these
little
things.
Tricks.
Yeah.
So it is like a social experiment. Like there's a crowd you're supposed to
And it
conduct.
Reminded me of was when you said what did you just say? You weren't thinking about it or you weren't
I didn't
caring.
Give a fuck.
Yeah.
The other stuff. That's when they laughed. Sorry,
so
excuse me.
So you have
me.
To remember that.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you'll go back and you're getting a laugh off nothing. And you upon further inspection, it's just because of your attitude. And there might not be a joke in there. Or you may have not given a fuck. And there's valuable stuff that you can repeat. And you can repeat in the same way.
Wow. It's amazing. Yeah, that's so... Wow,
and
so
you should pay attention to next time you get a silence and make a note of, oh, what was I was expecting that there.
Right. So how long did it take you to like get more material, like where you got your hour like of solid material? Are you still working at that or? Or a better question is, have you dropped, when's your is your special out or like when are you going to drop your... Because that's the pinnacle, right? When someone gets their special on Hulu or Netflix or Showtime.
I don't know if that's the pinnacle anymore. No. I released a special in my garage during the pandemic called Live from the Pandemic of an hour that I was headlining on the Zoom. And then I was supposed to record an album right before the pandemic, and I haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
So now I'm in this space where I'm doing 15-minute sets, and I'm not really... 15. I should be working on the specific order of the hour that I want to record.
So you 15 minutes, like blocks, 15. Yeah. Now, are those interchangeable? Like, because there's an MC or a guy, a local comic in Tempe, he showed me this app. It was an app for your phone of, like, he organized, like, this is my 45 minute, this is a 15, these are my other 20 minute.
Not that organized.
So, but it's interchangeable, your stuff, though, right? You could
Yeah.
Yeah, you could say, oh, I'll do this 15, or I'll do this 15.
And then when I did my hour recently, it starts to take its own form once you start running that hour. I would notice the different chunks. Like I have a chunk that goes at the beginning.
Mm.
And
so it's like a puzzle. You just kind of put it. Oh, that's interesting. So are you planning in the future to drop like is a special or like how does one go about doing that? My brother hasn't dropped his yet. And
I know. What's up with that?
26 years in the game. And I'm trying to get him to.
Well, I'm sure he's had offers, no?
I think there's more of a, not a deeper issue, but there's a thing about, I think once it's out in the universe and you film it and it's, you know, on this thing, you have to write new, then you have to start from square one again, don't you?
Yeah.
Right? You have to write new stuff.
He's not doing the same hour, is he?
Well,
I've never seen his hour, actually. I've only seen
his OR sets.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and that's 15 minutes, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, hopefully he'll get it soon. I'm trying to get him to do it. Because it's like, the way I look at it, it's like you guys' app, like, you know, like the Beatles
have
Abbey
have
Road.
Or people would love it. He would love it.
Yeah, it's like Jeremiah did his. You know? Shout out to my man, Jeremiah. I mean, he has a record, you know?
Hell yeah.
So, like, the time had already flown by. We made an hour. We don't go past an hour. I think we have 5-6 minutes left.
Okay.
Something like that. This is the time where...
Well, you really got me talking a lot.
Yeah, I'm glad. Because usually... She talked quite a bit, huh? On this, like... Because usually, I'm usually, like, cutting people off or I'm, like...
Really?
But I talked over you. I allowed that.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. Well, you do have you did command some of the stuff you're saying. Like, but I allowed that. I like that.
Oh.
I like that.
Do you need to talk over me for this
last 6 minutes? No, not at all. Not at all.
Go.
I wanted you to promote anything you have going on, like future show dates, your Instagram.
Are your fans going to be mad because I talked over you?
No. They're going to be happy. They're going to notice like, oh, Steve actually let his guest talk. That's what they're going to say. It's going to work to your advantage. They're going to be like, oh, that's cool. Steve let her talk and do her thing.
I definitely felt like I was kind of interrupting you more. But you were asking me good questions.
Well, you know.
And you were acting like you were interested.
No,
you know?
I was. What do you mean acting like I was? I had
so
this stuff written
down. That got me talking.
Okay. So
follow
first
me at Marylynn Ryskub, MarylynnRyskub. It's not my fault. That's just my name.
Can you do that one more time?
That's just my name.
No, can you spell it?
MarylynnRyskub. If you just put in Marylynn, it'll come up.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. On Instagram, I'm starting a podcast.
And you're going to name it?
I'm doing this. I didn't even start the podcast yet. Yeah, I'm going to put Rice Cub in phonetics. It's just going to be my name. And
that's going to be Tiger Belly's competitor. Right. Dude, that's a good name.
It is.
I already have a t-shirt idea.
A little cub.
A cub holding a piece of rice. Rice Cub.
Or a cup of rice.
Oh, like Rice Cup.
Yeah.
I like Rice Cub.
Rice Cub.
Gotta have the animal.
Piece of it.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying a cub and a cup of rice. Too confusing.
Right.
A cub and a piece of rice.
Or it could be like a Winnie the Pooh thing where the cub is on its back, like, you know, like a cute little thing, like, you know, like a puppy dog, like the cub's on its back holding a bowl of rice.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many great potential. Great potential.
If the cub's on its back, are you looking at the underbelly of the cub?
No, I'm thinking of like just like a animated,
a cartoon thing
of like Winnie the Pooh.
It's holding,
cute. Like a cub playing with a ball or something.
Yes,
like a,
that's
you know
right.
how your dog plays with a toy?
That's
I didn't
right.
ask about your, I'm sorry, I know you have dogs too. I didn't ask.
I have one dog and one cat.
Okay.
The cat was my ex's, but I got the cat.
Can we give your dog and a cat a shout out real quick?
Shout out to Leo, the Golden Retriever mix. Shout out to Dikembe, the Savannah cat that has started peeing. I hate you. I used to love you and now I hate you.
Okay.
Shout out to the couch and two chairs I had to throw away because of the cat.
You gotta get the litter box, right? Like the litter
box. Don't even talk to me.
So all
I got him an extra litter box.
Oh no,
with a hood.
And it still did it.
He's not going in there
because you know cats are witty. They have their own thing going.
I moved the couch. He didn't like that I moved the couch.
Oh, really?
He started peeing on the same spot in the couch.
It was personal. He did it to you. Do you know?
So now I'm getting cat shelves. I got to find him places to hide. Something about that room he wasn't liking. I wanted to get the, do you know there's a, do you like cats?
I like both animals.
There's a cat whisperer. Yeah, I like dogs.
Yeah.
But there's this cat whisperer guy. His name's Jackson Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
He's a total character. If you want to watch his videos, he used to have his show.
Galaxy Cat Whisperer.
And he gets deep into cat stuff.
How does he know so much about cats?
Oh my gosh. Please Google him. Do yourself a favor.
Yeah.
Because
so shout out to Jackson Galaxy.
No, he doesn't need it.
Okay. Well,
he's huge now.
He's huge.
And I was like,
YouTube guy?
I noticed you could click on his consultation because I was like, no way will Jackson Galaxy do consultations, right?
Yeah.
$1,200.
For a consultation.
That's how popular he is now. But he's really, really good. He has like...
All right. Let's timestamp that. We're not going to add Jackson into this episode.
I mean, he's...
He doesn't eat that.
I have a feeling because when I watched him, I was like, who is this guy? And you learn stuff about cats that you're just like... People have it all wrong. And
He
has it right.
How does he...
He's deep into cats.
So much
because people go like, oh, my cat's mad at me or whatever. It has nothing to do with that. It's territory. He just knows about cats' behaviors. Whatever.
That's crazy. Yeah.
You make me talk a lot.
I know. But isn't that a good thing?
It is a good thing. You're so good at what you do.
What about your website?
Some
merch and...
I don't know how to update my own website. So look out for that. I made
make you look good here. You're saying the wrong things right now towards the end. Let's stay on the straight and narrow there. You're like shooting yourself in the arm right now.
Yeah, don't let me do that.
So you do know what you're doing with your website.
You need to help.
And you get all the merch at
Mary Lynn Rice Cub.
I don't know my website. Okay. All right. Spell it out one more time.
RAJSKUB. MaryLynnMaryLynn.com. That's the website.
Say it one more time.
MaryLynnMaryLynn.com. Okay. Two N's.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
It was an honor having you.
It's an honor to be here.
Quick shout outs. Okay, so me and Jeremiah are going to be in Pennsylvania. God, I didn't even know. Can you throw my phone here? Oh, go to StevieWeebyShow.com. Just throw it. You can throw it.
No, I'm not.
Okay. Go to StevieWeebyShow.com for any merch. Just know the delays, the orders will be delayed because of what's going on. Yeah. So January 9th, we're going to be in Pennsylvania. God damn it. Where is it? What does it say on the board?
Yeah, Scissor
Bros. So January 9th in Pennsylvania. And it's one live podcast, Scissor Bros Live. I'll keep you updated. Okay. Patreon.com/Stevie Weeby. If you want to help support the platform, StevieWeebyBandcamp.com for the music stuff. Did I say the website already? Instagram/QUANGOU. Oh, YouTube.com/Scissor Bros. Episodes drop every Friday. Okay. We just reached, 60,000 subscribers. So thanks for the support. We're very happy to be doing these live podcasts. And I think that's it, right? Did I cover everything? It was an honor having you.
Such an honor to be here. Yeah. I'm going to get better at all my stuff. You inspired me. I'm going to list off the YouTube.
My buddy Skip is a trip, feeling blue like a crib. Framed for robbing a bank, letting loose from the hip. He really couldn't predict this grip was so full of angst. Him and Henry Woodward Peckers did a song and dance at Ben. Oh, rodeo man in the West, you can. You're the best on the land to bless the sands. Do the bull with your hand, oh Skip, you can. Get that fucking bull, pull on that rope. Feeling stir crazy, maintaining against the grain. Making me wanna get in a plane. The pain inside my brain never ends sustained. I'm down for the count on the ground freight train. Living today, don't give it away. The peace and the praise, the rays. Shining it down to mightiest crowns, the finest of frowns delayed. Skippy's afraid, he feels betrayed. Live this way, can deal with shade. His fate is a spade, he made the great. His blade in a charade of pain. I am not a man, I am an animal, a male. I live by maritime, the law of water about to sail. When my mother had me, I slipped out of her canal. What you call a sailing ship is named after a female.
Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.